Let's walk through exactly what happens with a patient who's about to get this form of therapy. The patient comes initially and you take their blood.
Correct.
And walk me through what happens once you have their blood.
So we take their blood. The blood is shipped in a courier van over to a facility that's a couple of miles away from the hospital where the blood cells are isolated. Those blood cells are then infected with a retrovirus that can't replicate itself. So it's like the HIV virus, but it's not able to grow. So you can't ever get problems from it, but it targets the protein that we're interested in targeting on the tumor cells. So we infect the person's white cells or T cells with this retrovirus.
In the lab.
In the lab. And then we grow in dishes and flasks those T cells from a few million to hundreds of millions of cells. That takes about typically 10 to 14 days. We then test the cells to make sure that there's no problem with infectious entities within them and that they actually kill the tumor cells that we like and that they're viable. Once they test and are lot released as being able to perform all the things that they need to do, they're shipped back to the hospital and the person's brought to the clinic. They're given the chemotherapy drugs over a couple of days. And then on the third or fourth day after the chemotherapy drugs, the cells are put right back into an IV line over about 5 minutes, and that's it.
And that form of therapy and those that specific construct that you have developed is really unique to UNC.
Correct. So if you want to get T-cell therapy for CD30 lymphoma, you have to come to UNC to get that. The CD138 target for myeloma will be one of two centers in the country targeting that protein and only one of a handful of centers targeting any protein on multiple myeloma cells.
That's then a service that is unique and absolutely wonderful.
Correct. Correct.
Once the patient gets their cells back, do they get ill?
So you can get ill. It's a different type of illness than you typically think of for chemotherapy or radiation therapy. So these cells can basically find tumor cells. When they find tumor cells, they grow and expand substantially and produce the proteins that most of us are familiar with when you get influenza. So you oftentimes will get a similar process to influenza, but it can actually be a little bit more severe
than influenza. Sort of a ramped up flu-like illness, but
exactly.
It's not a virus.
It's not the virus. It's basically the proteins that the cells make, which I think in most instances is what you feel in influenza. So it's fevers, muscle aches, headaches, but then can lead to problems with blood pressure and breathing if not treated.
And how long do those symptoms typically last for?
They can last for typically 7 to 10 days. There are therapies available now that target some of the cytokine proteins that mediate the symptoms. And so we can, in most instances, treat patients to make sure that they don't get immensely ill. But most of the patients who develop this are in the hospital for about a week if they develop this. But I think what's also important is we've developed through a number of other faculty members in neurology, the intensive care unit, emergency department, we've developed a lot of expertise around how to manage these patients successfully. And so we have a fairly robust approach to managing these folks that I think is critically important to allow them to get through this. I don't think you'd want to get this therapy in a small community hospital. We didn't have the expertise available at UNC.
When somebody starts immunotherapy, how often do they get it? Is it once? Is it twice? Is it every week?
So the adoptive cell therapy that we give is typically given once. Occasionally, we've given a second treatment if the first treatment was successful but not completely successful. But typically, it's no more than twice. That differs from the other types of oncological immunotherapy where you get commercial antibody treatments typically every 2 to 3 weeks for sometimes up to a year. But for the adoptive cell therapy, it's usually given either once or twice.
Of the patients that you've treated with Hodgkin's lymphoma who have really failed almost everything else, that's how they get to you. How well have those patients done?
So it was a typical type of clinical trial mandated by the FDA. So we started at a low dose to make sure it was safe. Once we got to the effective dose with the effective chemotherapy drugs to make sure that the cells took. We've treated 10 individuals, 8 of whom have gone into a complete remission, and these individuals averaged 8 prior therapies before we treated them. So this was a group of patients that really had exhausted all other forms of treatment. Yeah. And of the 8 that have gone into complete remission, roughly 5 of the 8 now are still in remission with a median evaluation of about 9 months after treatment.
Now, that's fantastic, because otherwise, if everything else has failed, this is a last resort.
Correct.
And that sort of success rate is remarkable in so many ways. Some patients are not candidates for this kind of adoptive immunotherapy. Who are they?
So if you don't have a tumor that we have a easily recognizable target for the T cells, you wouldn't be a candidate for this. And then unfortunately, we've not had as much success in the laboratory treating the predominant cancers that patients get, which are lung cancer, breast cancer, colon cancer, prostate cancer. Those diseases have been a little bit harder to treat than blood or bone marrow-based diseases. And so right now, there's not an effective adoptive cell therapy using the approach we have for those solid tumors.
It works in some patients with myeloma.
Correct.
Who are those individuals?
So right now, we think that anybody with persistent or refractory multiple myeloma would be a candidate for this. Once you get to the effective dose, the data from the National Cancer Institute and our preclinical data would suggest that maybe half of those patients who, again, have failed all other prior therapies, almost always including stem cell transplant, would respond to this treatment.
And the hope, again, would that they would have a long-term remission.
Correct.
And by remission, you mean no evidence of disease that can be detected clinically or radiographically or by any number of other blood tests.
Correct. We've not done this for that long. So the shortest have been a few months. And again, the median or the average is about 9 months or 3/4 of a year. For the leukemia therapy, you know, there's clearly data from individual centers that started treating patients before us that about 40 to 50% of patients, again, with acute lymphoblastic leukemia, non-responsive to anything, are disease-free and alive 3 years after treatment.
Because this therapy is relatively new, the approach right now is to treat patients who've been refractory to other forms of therapy. But one could imagine, because of the specificity of the drug, that in the future, one would want to use this earlier in the course of disease. How early can you imagine that one could use this form of therapy? Are other conventional chemotherapeutic approaches less toxic?
Yeah, so I think that you could envision a future not that far away where you might use this therapy initially as a way, especially in a younger individual with Hodgkin's lymphoma. The majority of patients between 15 and 30 with Hodgkin's lymphoma often have more complications from the treatment than they do from the disease.
Especially long-term.
Correct.
Long-term complications of the therapy.
Correct.
Right.
So you could envision that if you could treat those individuals up front without ever exposing them to chemotherapy, you might be able to avert all of those complications of lung and heart and second cancers. Right now, I think most places are looking at this form of therapy as a way to circumvent the need for autologous or allogeneic stem cell transplantation, which is effective but has a number of complications and side effects and clearly can cause unfortunate death in patients. This is probably safer than that form of therapy, and if it's shown to be as effective, and there's studies doing that now, might be a process that would replace transplant, at least for patients with leukemia and B-cell lymphoma.
What does the future then look like 10 years from now in your mind? Realistically, what kinds of patients would you be treating, and would you be able to end up, do you think, going into the cancers that you named that currently the approach doesn't work for?
So
colon cancer, breast cancer, lung cancer.
So we're going to start trials probably in 2020 in patients with ovarian cancer to try to see if we can utilize new targets and potentially other approaches to make those cells work better. I think immunotherapy is here to stay. I think our type of adoptive cell therapy hopefully can be utilized much more widely if we can figure out how to treat solid tumors. And then potentially, because our therapy has the ability to work forever, if it does, you can envision a time where that's the only treatment that you had.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
That would be.